be seated.
Merry Christmas. Well, almost. We got one more day to go, and then I guess it technically will be Christmas. Would like to make a couple of quick things and announcements here. First check I got to make, is there anybody that needs communion or needs a candle and did not get one on your way in? Would you please raise your hand and we'll take care of that. Okay, so everybody has a candle and communion. One quick announcement I was told to make. I'm not reading anything from the bulletin this morning, so you can read that. But I was told to take, for all of those who last week missed the chocolate cake and the ice cream, Alice has got you covered. There's cookies and fudge out in the Welcome Center as you leave, so you're welcome to stop and get some more sugar and some more chocolate, and then you can take your kids home and feed them more sugar and more chocolate, and then just keep them there and don't bring them back once they're on the sugar rush. So, can we start this morning with an opening word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this life that we're about to celebrate. So oftentimes we think of Jesus in a manger, we think of a little bitty baby, but this is about a life. It was about a life that was born, about a life that was lived, and about a life that was sacrificed so that we may experience eternal life. So God, this morning, as we are gathered here this morning to proclaim the message of the good news that Christ has arrived, may you be with our hearts and our minds. May you help us to worship the newborn babe as the wise men did. But more importantly, will you help us to live in a relationship with him all throughout our life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 5. But as we move down to verse 14, John gives us a very important piece of information. John tells us that the Word, happy trigger finger this morning, John tells us that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in the Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Would you please join us as we sing Away in the Manger? The light to arrive, Jesus had to be born. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, the town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married, to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One will be born and will be called the Son of God." This is to fulfill a prophecy spoken by Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Here's the thing. If this was just about the physical need for a body, God could have done anything. He could have formed Jesus fully human, fully adult, and just as he did with Adam, breathed in the breath of life. But that wasn't the point of what was about to happen. God was going to come in human form, and he was going to experience all of humanity. And for that to happen, a birth had to take place. For that to happen, Jesus had to be helpless, vulnerable, and actually be born. So today we light a candle, not for Mary, but for this newborn baby. And his name is Jesus. And he shall be called Emmanuel. Will you please join me as we are singing, "What Child Is This?" Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. We pick up Jesus' story here. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. All too often, we make the mistake of saying Jesus had no earthly father. Now, it's true. Jesus had no biological earthly father. However, God sought out a man to watch over Jesus, to protect Jesus, and believe it or not, to teach Jesus. It could not just be any man. He had to have the rightful claim to the throne of David. And at the same time, he had to humble himself to do things God's way. We don't know a lot about Jesus' childhood, and it's kind of still one of those things. I'd love to have a book that tells me what was Jesus like as a teenager. But you know what? It sounds like Joseph did a pretty good job according to Luke chapter 2, verse 52. "And Jesus grew in the wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So this morning, while we want to appreciate the gift that Joseph gave, that he submitted to God's plan, we want to light a candle for Jesus, not just a baby in the manger, but the baby that grew to be a man. Would you please join us in singing Once in Royal David's City. Jesus was not just born. He wasn't just born to grow as a man. He was born with a purpose. He was born to be a Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16, we read the following proclamation from heaven. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace, goodwill to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The arrival of God in flesh should have created the very first Christmas parade, but it didn't. The ongoing and ever-moving world didn't even bat an eye, but out on the hillsides, God made sure it was known. Their message? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. A Savior that was to be came to you, it was a joyful message. They called it good news. Do I think it's a coincidence that they came to the shepherds? I do not. I see this as a metaphor, as the newborn human that would become the great shepherd. The one that he calls himself in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, the authority to take it up again. This command I received of my Father." So today we light a candle for the great shepherd who chose to give his life for all of humanity. Would you please join me in singing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus"? He was born. Yes, he grew. Yes, he was born with the purpose of being our Savior. But make no mistake about it, this was a person born to be a king. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 gives us the very familiar story of the kings that came to visit the king. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least amongst the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out to them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, Report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen went and it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they stopped over with his mother, Mary, with his brother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The only ones to notice the arrival of God outside of Mary, Joseph, and babe, and Jesus himself were three kings. Their invitation wasn't an angel. It was simply a star. Who knows why they followed that? It was just out of curiosity. Maybe they followed the story because, you know what? A new king means that we need to make new treaties, new alliances. Maybe it was just purely political. Maybe when they saw that star, they came ready to worship, ready to give. So today we light a candle, not for those kings, but for the King of Kings. His name is Jesus, the Savior and the Messiah. Would you please join me as we sing Joy to the World? This was not just any baby. This was not just any man. This was not just any savior. This was not just any king. This was to be God's special sacrifice to lead all back into a relationship with him. Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death upon a cross. See, the entire purpose of the baby in the manger was to be the sacrifice on the cross. And Jesus himself gathered his disciples together on the night before he was to go to that cross, and he left us a remembrance of what Christmas is really all about. This is what we read in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Jesus started with the bread. He told us that this bread was going to represent his body. A body that would be broken. A body that would be nailed to a cross. And when the bread had been passed and they had partaken of the bread, he passed them a cup of wine. It was one cup from which they all drink from. It was a cup that was going to represent his blood. His blood that was to be shed for the redemption of all. This was God's seal of the new covenant between himself and humanity. As you came in this morning, you picked up communion, what we also call the Lord's Supper. The pieces break into two. You have a cup that represents a little wafer that represents the blood, the body, a little cup of juice that represents the blood that was shed. I'm going to ask you this morning, a little untraditional for us, but that's okay. Before we go to the Lord in communion, how about we sing Silent Night? Please join me as we pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment that we can come together and celebrate. Yes, we are celebrating a baby that was born in human flesh. Yes, we are celebrating your arrival on this planet. But God, we know that body had a purpose. That flesh would become broken. That flesh would be the flesh that carried the cross to Calvary, taking my sins and all the sins of the world with it, as he chose to offer his body to you, a sacrifice. Let us partake. Now let us pray for the cup. Dear Jesus, as that crown of thorns was pushed onto your brow, as those nails pierced your hands, as you were whipped, and as that scarred back brushed up against that cross, make no mistake about it, there was blood. There was blood that had to be shed. It is that shedding of the blood that covers our iniquities, Lord, that redeems our sins. You asked if there was a way that this could be done, that the cup be passed from you, but you knew this was the only way. So thank you for your willingness to give everything that you had for us, dear God. Let us partake. We sang that song, Silent Night, but let's be very realistic. That very first night would not have been so silent. The streets of Bethlehem were filled with a noisy crowd that was there for tax time. The screams of childbirth resonated from a lowly stable. And finally, the cries of a baby, as God himself drew his very first breath as a human. Years later, the night before the crucifixion would also not have been so silent. Jesus was arrested in the garden. He was subjected to three trials by men. He was convicted by an angry mob yelling, "Crucify him." He was beaten by Roman soldiers, stripped and forced to carry his own cross through a jeering crowd. Once on the hill, again, not so silent, the sounds of a hammer pounding the nails and the screams of anguish of men being crucified. And even after he hung on his cross, he had to hear the ridicule and the insults of men. And then the lights went out. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his very last breath. It's funny, we have all of the candles lit. All of the things that we want to remember about Christmas. But there's some things that we often forget about the Christmas story. See, by the end of the night, all of his followers, all of those who chose to seek him, would abandon him. When our baby in the manger was all done, and our kings had done worshiping, guess what? They went home. And we never hear from them again. And our shepherds, our lowly shepherds on the hillside that left their flocks to come and find the baby, guess what? They went back to their flocks. Joseph, the man God had chosen. Do you know we hear nothing more of Joseph after Jesus' 12th birthday? Many think that he died an early death. But no matter what, Joseph's light went out. And then we come to Mary. Mary truly did stay with her son all the days of her life. She was with him there at the foot of the cross. But today, Mary's not here anymore. And that brings us to this last little light, the baby in the manger. We know the baby grew. We know the baby became an adult. We know the baby gave his life on a cross. We know that he was placed in a tomb. We know on that third day he rose from that tomb. We know he stayed here on earth today. And we know that he ascended to heaven. And we are now awaiting his return. And suddenly, as we look at our Christmas remembrance, it's looking awful dark because all of the lights have gone out. But that is not the end of the story. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that were separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the tongues of this as the Spirit enabled them. Do you get it? Jesus was the intertwining of God and humanity. But God wasn't done with this mix. It didn't end at the manger. It didn't end at the cross. It didn't end at the tomb. And it didn't end in the ascension to Jesus. The only problem, the only thing that's changed is what the mix is. For today, the person of God is played by none other than the Holy Spirit. The one who was promised to come and help us through our lives. and the human part. It's played by us. It is played by each and every person that has chosen to follow Christ. And if you've made that decision, make no mistake about it, this is your purpose. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The very first Christmas, the angels proclaimed. Now, it's our job to proclaim. Now, as you look at my light, it is extremely small. And it's extremely insignificant. But you know, it is extremely powerful. Because you know what I have the ability to do? I have the ability to share my light. And not just share it with one person. I can share it with another. And another. And another. What we're going to do is we are going to light our candles. One at a time. Rich and Gary are going to pass that light amongst you. I'm going to take care of the one here as Lauren plays light. It plays "Here I Am" to worship. Isn't it kind of funny? As I moved about, this little candle affected how I walked. There were times I had to allow my life to protect my light. Understand what Christmas is all about. You have received your light. The only question is now, what will you do with it? Will you allow it to be blown out by the cares of this world? Will you hide it so that others can't see it? Or will you lift it high so that others can see the light of Jesus in your life, so that they too may find Jesus? I'm going to ask you to stand. Then we're going to pray, and then we're going to close our service by singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Dear God, thank you for this light. How oftentimes in my life I take it for granted. I know the stories, I know the scriptures, I've heard them told to me over and over again. Maybe occasionally I even tell a story or two myself. But understand, Christmas is all about a proclamation. Unto me this child was born, so that my sins could be forgiven. Lord, may I never, ever lose the focus of the light of the world. The light that came in the form of Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Will you please join me in singing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.